Please be seated. The Herod of today's gospel comes from a highly dysfunctional family, to say the least. He's the only surviving son of Herod the Great, a paranoid and ruthless tyrant who killed a wife and two sons, and who most notably massacred innocent male children after hearing that there was a new king of the Jews. Herod the Great was responsible for these horrific things, and undoubtedly many more unnamed ones, to establish and preserve his powerful dynasty. Herod Antipas, his son, learned how to negotiate the system his father governed and attained power by being sly and cunning enough that he was able to dodge his father and therefore not be eliminated. Like his father before him, he ascended to power because he was willing to do whatever it took to attain and maintain power. The quest for earthly power and wealth won out for Herod in today's gospel, despite being face to face with John, the forerunner of Christ, who challenged him, perplexed, and pleased him. But the Herod of today's gospel chose the system his father handed down to him rather than the one that he heard from John the Baptist. This dynamic of you do what you need to do to get ahead has played out since the dawn of humanity. It's the kind of power that is easiest for us to see. It usually takes the form of one group benefiting at the expense of others without the same privileged status, without the legacy of being on top. And the power that Herod has attained is this same ugly, earthly power. It rules his life and guides every move he makes. And folks, it is the same system of power that fathers and mothers hand down to their sons and daughters to this very day. We see it played out over and over from generation to generation among the privileged, sons and daughters being taught the way to success, how to negotiate the structures that be so that wealth and power is attained and preserved. This system passed on to our children, whether directly or indirectly, by the way they see us living and working in the world, puts an undue pressure on them that we adults seem to forget ever having experienced. But the power that drives this sinful system, the systems that we, the wealthy and privileged, teach is the way to success, is not the system that the prophets, from Elijah to John the Baptist, have tapped into as they have been about the work of preparing the world for the coming of Christ. Prophets channel the power of God's system, a system of expansive, unconditional, and non-discriminate love, fulfilled in the birth, ministry, death, and resurrection of Christ. God's system turns the sinful systems of the world upside down. Prophets hold a mirror up to the privileged and to the powerful so that they can see their sin, just as John does by his disapproval of Herod's marriage. Prophets speak truth to earthly powers when the rich are getting richer while the poor are getting poorer. Because prophets are so in tune with the wideness of God's love and mercy for all, they refuse to stand for sinful and oppressive systems. Prophets like Elijah, John the Baptist, and modern-day prophets like Martin Luther King so loved God and us that they were willing to die before they settled for the sinful systems of the day. But don't worry. I don't think today's gospel wants us to become prophets. We, my friends, most of us, the vast majority of us, are not called to be prophets, However, we are called to respond to prophets or to the prophetic when the message reaches us in the gospel as it does today, and maybe more importantly, when God's system of justice and peace breaks through the sinful systems that we live within each day. When the life and light of God breaks through and perplexes, puzzles, and pleases us, we must have the grace to choose God's love, His justice, mercy, selflessness, and generosity over protecting what we have. So, perhaps you're asking yourself, what does this prophetic light look like? Sure sounds unrealistic, idealistic. That's not the way the world works, Les, you tell me. It's really not that complicated. It's really not that idealistic. But perhaps this short story will help us see it more clearly. A young man is packing up his SUV to travel up the interstate a ways to college. All of my years of education have led me to this moment, he was thinking. He had just 4 years to figure it out. What am I going to do with my life? The pressure was on. He was nervous, excited, but generally scared, scared out of his gourd. His father, perhaps sensing these things, took hold of his son's shoulder as the young man closed the door on the last of his possessions. Hey, bud, what's up with you? You haven't said two words since we started packing up a half hour ago. The son's looking down at his shoes, at the gravel in the driveway. Dad, it's just all so overwhelming. What do I do? I mean, I've only got 4 years to figure this out. I don't have a clue what I want to do. What if I fail? The young man answered, a painful lump gathering in his throat, tightening all the while, threatening to give way to tears. Buddy, his father said, wrapping an arm around him, if you're smart, you'll worry less about what to do and more about how you do what you do. The boy was perplexed. What does that mean, Dad? It's like this, buddy. They're ditch diggers and they're doctors and everything in between. And God loves every last one of them just the same. God doesn't care what occupation you choose or how much money you make, and the world cares too much. The sooner you start worrying about what God wants from you more than what the world seems to want, the better off you're going to be. The boy felt that lump in his throat loosen some. The tears stopped welling, and he exhaled, having not realized that he had been holding on to each of his breaths for too long. He felt better now, but there would be rough times ahead. He would be stubborn and selfish at times, greedy and shallow, but he would always find his way back to what his father told him, and he would always breathe easier and see things more clearly when he got there. This father is not a prophet, but his message is prophetic. The action it points to, I think, is what we can all do for our sons and daughters and friends and family, or really anyone who might look to us for answers to the difficult questions that face us all about what to do with this life that God has given us. We cannot afford to be like the Herods of the world. There's no room in the life and system of God for that kind of territorialism, competition, greed, fear, ruthlessness, and violence. To the contrary, we would do well to give ourselves and anyone who will listen the gift that the Father in the story I just told gives to his Son. Anyone who will listen, ditch digger, doctor, deserves to hear the words that this wise father offers his anxious son. God doesn't care what occupation you choose or how much money you make. And the world cares too much. The sooner you start worrying about what God wants from you more than what the world seems to want, the better off you're going to be. So may we, brothers and sisters, love each other and ourselves enough to give one another the freedom and grace found in the life and system of a God who is the real power in this world and any world we can imagine. May we always be receptive to the prophetic messages that break through the sinful systems that we find ourselves a part of, and turn in those moments to the root and core of who we are in God and live accordingly.